Joining me here in the studio, I've got a set of veterans, our first round of veterans, as we're going to fill the rest of the morning all the way to the 9 o'clock hour with that, with our local veterans. Joining me this time around, I've got Sherry Stanton, Bunky Scott, and also Sheriff Martin Edwards. How's everybody doing this morning?
Great. Fine.
Good.
Besides this cold weather, Bunky and I, you and I talked, if it's below 70, it's winter.
That's right.
And it is definitely winter. First of all, we'll speak with each one of you as we go around this morning. Thank you for your service. Let's just start with that.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. We'll start with Bunky. Go ahead and introduce yourself and what branch you were in, and a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm Bunky Scott. I spent 4 years in the United States Navy Aviation during the Korean conflict. Went in 1952 and got out in 1956.
And what organizations are you a member of right now?
The Legion. Mm-hmm. The VFW, Lions Club, and I've been a member of all of them for 60-some years.
Wow. So you're in the public eye quite a little bit then, right?
Well, I'm trying to slow down.
Trying to. It's never, you never slow down, right?
Right.
Exactly. All right, who else do we have?
Martin Edwards. I've been on your program many times before, but again, always a pleasure to be here. I went in the Air Force in 1978 and left in the year 2000, retired. I started off in security police, ended up as a special agent with the OSI, and once I retired, came home, got into sheriffing, and been here ever since.
Nice. We always enjoy having you on the show, Mr. Edwards. We also have you the Freezing for Food, which is coming up as well.
Yes, Freezing for Food, and what would we call it, Sweating for Food?
I tried to get Sweating for Food, and nobody liked it. They said, well, it's not very appealing.
Well,
it's the truth. You know, sometimes the truth is not very appealing. All right, and who else do we have?
Sherry Stanton. I was in the Navy from 66 to 69. I was in air traffic control and really enjoyed my stint while I was in there.
Yeah, and we talked off there. My youngest son has recently joined the Navy, and he's in A school in Pensacola. So I'm very interested to hear what you guys have to say about, especially about the Navy branch. So.
Well, not only the Navy, but anybody who enters the military is eligible for the military scholarship when they get done, and that will help pay for their college education. And if they were a veteran from leaving from Illinois and coming back and living in Illinois, then they're eligible for the Illinois Military Scholarship, which will also pay for their education. So I got my bachelor's degree with my GI Bill and my master's degree with the Illinois Scholarship. So I feel very fortunate not to have any student loans, and I highly recommend it for that.
Yeah, my oldest son would love to be able to say that same thing, but he doesn't have that. He's got a lot of school loans. Sherry, you just finished up a stint as the American Legion Department of Illinois' first female commander, which is so cool. I mean, how cool was that?
Well, I just really enjoyed it because there were so many gentlemen that you have a lot of the older gentlemen that don't really appreciate some of the female things that we do. But, you know, I got along so well. Everybody was just like a little brother or a big brother, and I had a good year, really good year.
Yeah. Sheriff Edwards, would you like to say a few words to Sherry and just about veterans in general?
Well, first of all, let's look at the hierarchy over here at our local Legion. I'm the commander this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The power behind the throne is to my left, and that would be Sherry.
It's always the females, the power behind the throne, right?
Who's the finance officer, but she's also the past commander of our post, and one of the core people that keep the place alive. The fact that we had somebody of our own post at department level, plus, you know, and again, it's historical that it's a woman that took that post, something very we should be proud of as a post in the community. So we're very excited about it. And just to continue along that, we're always looking for more people to come out to join the post,
sure,
to enjoy the post. You're kind of seeing some problems with clubs. Trying to get younger people in, and we certainly invite that. More than happy to have some more blood come in and welcome them in. There's a lot to do. There's soup suppers, there's hamburger fries, there's the firing squad, just a lot of activities for people to get involved in to support fellow veterans, which is what it's all about. And again, this lady right here to my left, I mean, she does stuff with the Veterans Home in Quincy, and it's just on and on and on. In fact, I think we ought to just let her talk about that for a few minutes. And I think you get a lot of programming out of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, back to you there.
Thank you,
Commander.
We do have a pillowcase project that we do for deploying troops. And anytime we find out that there's a National Guard or Reserve unit going out, or even a active duty unit going out, we will go and we will take pictures of the guardsmen and their families, and then each one will have a pillowcase, picture pillowcase to take with them.
Oh, wow.
The object was to give the kids a picture of mommy or daddy to give a hug to each night.
Sure, well, that is very cool. That just sends chills up my spine there.
Since we started the program in 2004, our American Legion has done over 18,000 pillowcases.
Wow. That's a lot of resting heads right there.
It is. A lot of hugs each night.
Exactly. Well, let's just talk about the year that you spent. It was done, I believe, in May. Does that sound right?
I started it last July, okay, and then finished up this July. And it was just an overwhelming experience. I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. Got to do a lot of traveling, probably about 40,000 miles on the car. But it was one that they have from department, so I got that at least. But it's just, you got to get out and you got to meet a lot of these people, old and young veterans, and just explain some of the programs. And some of them, you know, we work with Special Olympics, and a lot of them didn't realize that we help out with that. We have a big hospitality tent down at State for the State Games, and we have food for 4,000 athletes, their coaches, their families, and all the volunteers for 2 days, or Friday and Saturday, while we're down there. And we have fruits and vegetables and a few, you know, cookies and things like that. But mainly it provides shade for the athletes so that they can come in and rest up a little bit. And it gives it time for the coaches to get their thoughts together and everything. And it's just really nice to have that.
Yeah, that's very cool. What's one of your favorite stories of the past year? Maybe a veteran that you've helped, or I mean, put you on the spot. But I know there's probably so many stories to choose from.
But you'll have me cry. I had one little guy.
I feel
guy,
like Barbara Walters now.
Well, I had one little guy that we drove in to this nursing home, and we were getting this one gentleman's membership. And he happened to see us, and he saw the emblem on the car, and he says, are you from the American Legion? I said, well, yes, sir, I am. And he says, well, maybe you can help me a little bit, because I'm having some problems with my VA check. And I said, well, what's wrong, sir? And he said, you know, I went to the hospital, and then I had to go to another hospital, and then I went to this other home, and my check hasn't caught up with me yet, and I don't know what to do, and they're going to kick me out if I don't pay some money. And he was really very upset about it. So I said, well, let me give somebody a call. So I called a gentleman from the Chicago VA office, and I told him the situation. He says, I'll look into it. And before the end of the day was out, they found out that his check had been stopped at this one other hospital, and he wasn't getting the other information. The address hadn't been transferred. So he got to have his check, and he was thrilled, and everything
worked
out really
that's
nice.
That's awesome. That's one of the really cool stories. That's probably one of many that you've had.
Oh, I had another gentleman at the same nursing home that he had Alzheimer's, and his wife came in and says, I see you're with the American Legion. I said, well, yes. You know, when we decided to put my husband in here, he had talked about being cremated when he was gone. And I said, well, you know, that's fine. And she says, well, there's just enough money for the place here for him to stay at, and there's just a little bit for me to live on, and I don't have any money left to have him cremated, and it's getting to the point where he's going to have to go through that, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. So again, I called another gentleman, and he says, I think I can help you. So he called this other friend who called this other friend, it's a Chicago thing, and found out that they do cremation ceremonies for veterans, or for indigent veterans. So it worked out, and it all... To make a long story short, he will be cremated when it's time for him to go.
Wow, that's cool. That's again
free of charge.
Some of the great stories that the American Legion will help out with. Expanding on Sheriff Edwards, just your need for Sherry, I'll talk to you. Just your need for new members of the American Legion. Just kind of expand on what Sheriff Edwards was talking about.
We're always looking for new members at the American Legion. We have lots of scholarships that are available to people who are have children that have been in the military, and we've got all kinds of programs and things, but we just need people to take advantage of those so that they can enjoy part of the, well, I'm stalled here for words, but they just need to find a place that they can work with and be part of the community and enjoy being part of our family. And then they get worked into doing different things for different programs, and it all works out well.
Yeah, awesome.
Part of the Legion family.
Bunky, let's talk about the VFW side of it.
Well, what do you want me to say?
Just kind of about the organization itself.
Well, it's similar. I'll tell you a good story. Years ago, we kind of clashed against each other, Legion and VFW. I don't want to jealously or what, but they didn't get along. And then we've had the firing squad forever, the Legion, and the VFW had an honor guard. So we got together and combined the two. So we are now the Legion VFW Honor Guard.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And most of us belong to both clubs anyway.
Sure, sure.
So it worked out perfect. And I think through that bonding there that both organizations today get along real well.
Good.
And I might also say I'd like to toot the horn here about Monmouth. There's very few towns the size of 9,000 that has two veterans clubs that do so much in the community. And I don't think that gets talked enough. There's a lot of towns that don't have it. And so I'm pretty proud of the fact that there's two veterans clubs in Monmouth that they're both active and do a lot for the community.
Yeah, we talked about needing new members, but they're absolutely thriving.
Yes, but it's the same old story. Same old guys do all the
sure.
work.
Yeah,
and we're
sure.
all going up age, and it's getting harder and harder to...
You guys are all getting into your 40s now,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, you bet.
So it's time for some people in their 20s to take over.
But, you know, Sean, while we're talking, I'd like to, you know, like to sum this up for veterans.
Absolutely.
If I may, I got something to read here, and it was written by Father Dennis O'Brien, United States Marine Corps, and it's called Remember. And if I may, I'll read it.
You absolutely can.
It was a veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It was a veteran, not the poet, who gave us freedom of speech. It was a veteran, not the lawyer, who gave us the right to a fair trial. It was a veteran, not the campus organizer, who gave us the right to demonstrate. It was a veteran who saluted the flag, who served under the flag, whose coffin is draped by the flag, and who allows a protester to burn the flag. And to me, that sums up a veteran.
It absolutely does. That's awesome. So. That's very cool. What's it mean to you to be a veteran, Bunky?
Everything. You know, I was kind of blind. I went in right out of high school, didn't know what I wanted to do. And in my mind, I don't want anybody to have to go to war, but I think everybody should in service 2 years. Most kids at that age, 17, 18, don't know what they want to do. They need discipline, and you sure get it in the service. And I'm a better person after I came out of service.
I agree. I mean, that's an interesting point. And I know it's been brought up many times, but, you know, have kids serve a couple of years. Like you said, it's a whole discipline thing.
Sure.
There's so lack of discipline. I don't want to get into that whole kids these days type thing. But, you know, there's such a lack of discipline sometimes. And I've never served. Pretty sure you learn a little discipline in the service, am I right?
You bet.
Absolutely. Let's swing back over to Sheriff Edwards. Sheriff, what's it mean to you to be a veteran?
Wow. I guess there's pride and yet humility in having served. We were sitting here talking a couple minutes ago about how things have changed, and not to sound maudlin, but you have a different feel for that flag when you served. Probably, and some that have given a lot more than you have, certainly. But you develop such a love and a respect for your country, for the flag. And when you see the desecration, the disrespect, and things like that, it's disheartening and it's infuriating at the same time. You know? And,
yeah, sure.
And I don't like seeing that because I know what people have done to have that thing fly. And I think if people really understood that for just a minute, they'd be ashamed of themselves. They should be. And people should be shaming them for what they do, you know. Too much went into that to be there. And that's my soapbox minute right there. having said that, I will tell you, every person on their very first few minutes of boot camp realizes they made a huge mistake.
See, again, my youngest son just graduated boot camp in the summer. Now he's down at A school. We haven't really spent a whole lot of time with him. He's coming back for a week in about 3 weeks for a whole week. I can't wait to talk about that kind of stuff. What was your first inclination when you stepped off that bus up at the Great Lakes?
I made a huge mistake. I screwed up. I can't do anything right. This person's mad at me because I'm alive. But you get through it. Everybody gets through that rite of passage. There's a reason for it. Embrace it. Take it for what it's worth. And you'll look back on it someday with a smile on your face and just be glad that you did it. So it's all about camaraderie, not only there, but again, everything we talked about today with the American Legion. It's teamwork. It's camaraderie. It's being a part of the bigger group. And one of the great things about the Legion, you get to talk to people that were in the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, Marine, and you get little flavors of different things out there. And some of the stories that get thrown around, particularly when we're waiting to go out and do a firing squad detail, it's fun to hear some of the things that people are getting away with and shouldn't have, okay? But
I was going to ask you guys your favorite story of serving or being in the service, but I said it's something we had to air. It's something we definitely can air. So that thins the stories down a little bit.
Some dogs are better left flying.
Exactly. That's awesome. Sherry, I'm going to ask you as well. What's it mean to be a veteran?
Well, first of all, I would like to mention that men usually got drafted at the early age so that they didn't have to really make that decision. But there's been no female so far that's ever been drafted. We all volunteer, and we all feel it's something that we can do for our country. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to let you guys just kind of sum up your own as we go. I know I asked you what it's like to be a veteran, but I'm going to give you guys a chance to take the floor before we get our next set of veterans in here. Monkey, I'll start with you.
Well, I tell you what, I'm really proud of serving on the Honor Guard. I happen to be the chaplain of the Honor Guard, and it's just a warm feeling that you get when you do a military service. It's very moving for the family. It's very moving for us to do it, and we're proud to do it. And I guess that's one of my favorite things of the Legion, to be able to do that.
Any advice for any youngsters out there that are kind of on the fence about joining the service?
Well, they shouldn't be on the fence. You know, when I went to service, I never even dreamed what would happen after I got out of service. But all the benefits out there for a veteran, you know, it's unbelievable. Sherry's mentioned education. You got veterans assistance in the hospital. We got a Galesburg clinic here in close by, and that sees veterans, and it's a big thing. And more people ought to think about it that way. I just grew up thinking you should give back.
Sure.
And I think when I went into service, a lot of things I wish I didn't remember, but. It's like anything, when you get out, all you remember is the good times, and there were good times, and there were some bad times,
sure.
But mainly good times.
Awesome. So, Monkey, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sheriff Martin Edwards, I'll give you the floor.
I just have to echo pretty much everything Bucky just talked about. Being on that Honor Guard detail is an honor. I just wish we had more people on it. You're looking at the baby of the squad right now. Okay, I'm the youngest guy.
But you're only like 35.
I'm only 35, 40. Oh yeah, still waking up. So, but again, everything that he just talked about is that we push for the Legion, but also the military service. It isn't for everybody. It's not, and I don't think it hurts a thing. There's a lot of countries that have compulsory service. You know, in Korea, that's your first stop out of high school. Okay. And your life is put on hold for a couple of years, and it's that way in other places. I can't say that's right or wrong. I just know that you have a better discipline and more appreciative group of young people that are coming through there. So not suggesting we do that. The volunteer military seems to be working just fine. I'm also great. One last thing. I'm grateful that the veterans today are treated better than they were 40 years ago.
That's a great point.
When I went in the service, the Vietnam War had been over 3 years, okay? So just a short amount of time. And we were still feeling some of the ripple effect of that, if you will, which fortunately changed. Once Desert Storm started, suddenly public opinion changed, okay? to the better, fortunately, and that hasn't stopped. So for that, I'm grateful.
Good. Sherry, I'll let you have the floor.
Well, I would like to see more veterans, younger veterans, come out and just come through the club. It's no longer an old man's drinking organization. It's more of a family atmosphere. We have a family club. We have our restaurant that's open to family business. And we do a lot of other activities out there. But we just need to let them, the newer ones, know that they're more than welcome to come out and just take part and just sit around and listen to some of the stories and just enjoy the camaraderie of being able to speak to somebody and not have to hold everything inside. They need to get something out. Just come out to a local Legion post and just start visiting with some of the guys and gals.
What's going on this weekend for Veterans Day at the Legion?
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. We have an old-fashioned potluck dinner coming up on Veterans Day evening. First of all, the services will be at the VFW on Veterans Day morning at 10 o'clock. And then after that, we have in the evening, we have this potluck dinner. So if you want to come, just bring a dish to pass that serves maybe 8 and your table service and just come out and enjoy and learn about why the American Legion and the VFW is important to your community.
Awesome. What's going on with the VFW this weekend, Monkey?
Well, Sherry kind of hit it. We're having the Veterans Day program. Actually, every year the Legion does Memorial Day program and the VFW does a Veterans program. And it works out good for both organizations. And it's been tradition to do this. And really, we've been getting some nice crowds here the last few years. Because like Sheriff said, that more people are proud of veterans than sure. They used to be, I guess. So it's showing up in the crowds that come out.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate you guys coming in and sharing stories and just your views on being a veteran. In the Air Force, Mr. Sheriff Martin Edwards, also with the Navy, Sherry Stanton and Bunky Scott. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right, we'll have Joe Bratcher and also Joe Schweitzer coming in on the next round. Here on the WRAM Morning Show, here is a little salute to veterans that we put together, and we play this every Veterans Day. Continuing on with our salute to veterans here, our annual salute to veterans here on the Morning Show. Joining me, I have Joe Bratcher and Joe Schweitzer. Also, Joe Schweitzer, the Monmouth Police Chief, and Lieutenant Joe Bratcher. How you guys doing this morning?
Just fine.
Just good.
Again, like I started with the three that we had previously in here. Thank you guys for your service.
Thank you.
Talk about your time while you're in the service, and we'll start with you, Joe Schweitzer.
All right. And some of this will be, you know, probably repeated as what we said earlier. But, no, I joined the Army in 1987, and I was on active duty for a handful of years and came off of active duty, came back home, got into the National Guard, and went to college. And, you know, we deployed to Iraq in 2004 to 2006. I've been to Honduras, and we spent some time there. Fort Carson, Colorado, Fort Benning, Georgia, Fort Irwin, California. I hit all those places here, and I've been to Ireland and Germany, obviously Iraq, Kuwait, and jumped out of airplanes when I was in the Army. And ultimately retired in 2008.
Jumped out of perfectly good airplanes.
Right. It was too.
We're gonna land anyway.
I'll tell you what. You've got a lot of pushpins on your map.
Yeah. There's other people out there, I'm sure, that have way more than that.
But you've got a lot of pushpins.
That's, I think, about the norm. You know, you spend that much time in the military, and you're gonna see some
going places.
Yeah,
and that's part of the reason you join. I mean, there's many different reasons you join, but you want to see some stuff.
Sure. I mean, there's more out there than just, you know, what we're surrounded by, and it was nice to be able to see different, you know, states and countries.
Yeah, Mr. Bratcher. Talk about your time in the
service.
Well,
I joined the National Guard in 1989. My brother-in-law, Wayne McLaughlin, got me interested in that. I think he was looking for some recruiting points when he signed me up. But
not Wayne.
No. But I appreciate the fact that, you know, the National Guard's been good to me with training and college paid for and all that. And went to basic and AIT in 1990. I remember our drill sergeants would threaten us with, you know, if you don't learn this stuff, you're gonna deploy to Desert Storm, so you better learn this stuff. So we're all motivated to learn it.
That's a good motivation.
They kept telling us, you're going straight over there, so you ain't going home. And I'd be like, oh, we better learn this then. So, yeah, I think we were 100% proficient on everything.
Yeah.
And then 93 and two other times in my career, we're deployed to the flood, the river. Those were interesting times. In 90, was it 92, went to Honduras?
92, yeah.
Overseas mission training Honduran soldiers. And all I got to say is being in Honduras, you know, God bless America, because it makes you appreciate what you got back home when you go to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2004, was deployed to Iraq. The funny story I wanted to tell earlier, I didn't get a chance.
Good, because I was going to ask you guys for some stories. The ones Joe, we can air.
Right.
Yeah, me and Joe, we're police officers. He was 5 years ahead of me, I think. And we moved 2 blocks from each other. He lived on F Street. I lived on G.
Yeah.
Okay. And we lived there, gosh, for 6-7 years, I think, before we moved away, moved to other spots. But we were living in those spots when we got deployed to Iraq. He was 6 weeks behind me, I think, on deployment. We moved into the office buildings of Saddam Hussein right in the middle of Baghdad.
Wow.
So I'm sitting there one day, and they're like, oh, yeah, Charlie Battery, 2 Little Teeth coming over. I'm like, oh, Schweitzer's on that. And that, you know, I wonder where he's going to be at. I see him come walking in the front door of the office buildings. And I go, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm living upstairs. I'm like, oh, my goodness, leave it to the Army. They move us halfway around the world and closer together.
I could have walked 2 blocks and hung out, watched the ball game with you.
He went from 2 blocks to 20 feet. I'm just like, wow. So it was weird because we didn't know they were coming. I just looked up and I see
It's good to see a friendly face.
Oh, yeah. It is. I get there and I walk in the door and I see Bratcher standing in his door. Right there.
I'm like,
and
what are you doing here? Because we're living upstairs.
We live right upstairs.
Wow. Well, I mean,
that's kind of weird.
We're maybe downplaying a little bit, but how comforting is that?
Oh yeah.
It was good having somebody there you knew.
Oh yeah.
Because Joe was with
Alpha
and a lot of people that we in our battalion we were familiar with. I was with everybody that I went with was from Southern Illinois.
He didn't know.
So we didn't know hardly anybody. There was 18 of us from our unit here, but you know, between Milan, Galesburg, and Macomb, there was 18 of us that went with this group from Southern Illinois, and we didn't know anybody.
Right.
So I mean, once we were to that point, we knew everybody, but it was nice to see somebody that you know you'd know longer for that.
Yeah. So after we went to Iraq, we served there. 14 months, I think, we were there all total. But then I was fortunate to get promoted to first sergeant for Charlie Battery in Galesburg. And then we got deployed to Egypt. And that was a peacekeeping mission for what's called the multinational foreign observers through the United Nations. We basically babysat Israel and Egypt to make sure they behaved themselves and reported infractions of the peace treaty that was established in the late 70s by Jimmy Carter. And then, but that was an interesting tour because I got to see the pyramids. I got to see
very cool.
I could do a whole land tour and walked the walk that Jesus walked up in Israel. That was interesting. And all I could say is you know, Egypt's a great country, but going there and seeing it. God bless America.
That's
pretty much people don't understand.
In my opinion, because again, I haven't served or traveled a whole lot, but that's my opinion with everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does make you appreciate what we have here,
mm-hmm.
and some of the spoiled brats that go around here. And I hate to say that aloud, but they are.
It is what it is.
Spoiled brats here in this country.
There's a lot of places that are way worse off than we are. You know,
and I wish people could take 120 days. Everybody in America and go to other countries and see how bad they have it and how good we, even our worst people here, how good we have it here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would really ease a lot of tensions between groups of people.
That's a great point, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things, and obviously we saw first off when we went to Honduras, in a third world, you know, country in Central America, and the conditions that, you know, people live in. And one thing that struck me though when we were there, when we're out in the field training these Honduran soldiers, the building where all the Honduran Army guys were at, there were Corvettes and Camaros and everything else parked in next to the building. And those were the ones that were fortunate enough to be able to come to the States to go to college, mm-hmm. you know, and they'd buy this car and ship it back to Honduras. Where they drove it at, I don't know, because I didn't see many paved roads, but, you know.
More of a four-wheel drive vehicle.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. You know, we're out in the jungle of Honduras, and there's a Corvette, you know, sitting there. Yeah. So,
speaking on the Honduran stuff, you know, I was only – gosh, 20 years old when I got deployed. And I caught malaria down there, by the way. Thank you for that. That was a tenuous 6 months of my life. But, you know, you're in the hospital, and the doctors have no idea what's wrong with you. Your hands are turning yellow. Your eyes are turning yellow. They're telling you they're going to run an AIDS test on you, HIV test. You're freaking out, going, oh, my gosh. Trying to think of, what did I do? You know? Right.
And retracing your
steps. Oh, yeah, you're freaking uh-huh. out. And had some intern nurse come in from Carl Sandburg. I can't remember her name, but I knew who she was, and she knew me. She started asking me. She goes, where have you been recently? Have you been out of the States? I go, yeah, I was in Honduras last year. And she goes, well, it sounds like you got malaria. I go, well, you need to go talk to the doctors because nobody has a clue what I have. So she went and told the doctors. They ran a culture for malaria, and sure enough, I had malaria. They gave me some quinine, and I was good. But I 6 weeks I was in the hospital, I lost 25 pounds, and I was a buck 70 back then. I couldn't afford to lose 25 pounds, you know?
Yeah.
And, but the Hondurans down there, I just remember one time we're shooting field artillery, so our impact area is someone's cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's some guy's cornfield, and we have to stop firing because the farmer's out there picking corn.
Yeah.
So we can't shoot until he's not picking corn.
Yeah.
So, but the Hondurans show up with their howitzer piece, their artillery piece, you know. They don't have tires on it. They don't have tires on. They can't afford tires. The rubber down there is like gold, I guess.
Wow.
So they're carrying this thing. They got like 20 guys on this artillery piece. They picked it up out of the truck and laid it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the back of a big truck, I'm just like, wow. They can't afford tires.
Some of the tubes on the artillery pieces had cracks in them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's not good.
That's probably not good.
No, that's
they're
not
shooting
good.
100-pound rounds with cracks in the tubes. I'm just like,
I'm not going anywhere near
that. Yeah, I need to be 100 meters away from that. Exactly. That's the travel zone for that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You got a kick out of it. Guys, they when we were down there, they wanted to impress us.
Right.
And they'd roll up in their trucks with their pieces. And it looked like a clown car. I mean, people.
Oh yeah.
Just there'd be 25 people wedged in this, you know, truck.
So the things we see in the movies is kind of exactly the way it is.
We had fire watch. Me and a guy named Don Daniels had fire watch. They give us live rounds. I'm like, you're giving us live rounds? They're like, yeah, they're a fire watch. We're in a foreign country. We walked around while guys were sleeping to make sure no one messed with us. And we hear this god awful scream. And it sounded like someone was being murdered. We walked over there, and they're killing a cow from tomorrow's lunch and dinner.
Oh, wow.
With a machete. And they're killing this cow with a machete, and the cow's just screaming. We thought someone was.
Where
we went over there in a combat
at?
Buddy rest. Like, oh, my gosh, we're getting attacked or something. And we looked up, and these Hondurans are down there just slashing away at this cow.
Oh,
I'm like,
man.
Oh, my goodness. It was.
At times, it is like the movies, but there are, you know, those people that are in those situations are doing the best they can
right.
for their country.
Right.
And so that, you know, they, like I said, they wanted to impress us and they worked hard, you know,
they
and
hard workers, so
they put to use whatever they
had. They just don't
have
much to work with.
No.
Hard
yeah.
workers, but not poor. Much to work with.
Right. Exactly.
Poor country.
So, yeah.
And like I said, God bless America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I got friends of mine, even my wife, she said, I want to go to Paris. I want to go to these other countries. You know, I kind of like it here.
Yeah.
It's nice to visit.
It's such a great country.
It's nice to visit.
Not as good as here.
Me and my wife.
And I wasn't even in the service, and I know it's not as good as here.
My wife was fortunate enough to come over and visit me in Egypt, and we met in Cairo. And we wanted to go to Giza and see the pyramids. So we're like, oh, we got to go see the pyramids. It's a rock.
It's just a
you get there, you go in some caves. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's, you know, you check it off your bucket list, but you go there. It's not really clean. There's trash everywhere, honestly.
Yeah,
and you get there, and my wife goes, it's a rock. I go, yeah.
Like the scene out of Vacation.
I mean, the camel ride.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, All right, kids, let's go. But the camel rides were fun. But, I mean, other than that, it was
not very often in the morning show do we have anybody come in here and say the camel rides were fun.
Yeah, the camel rides were fun. That was the highlight.
That was the highlight of the whole tour. So.
Before I let you guys go, I want to kind of open the floor to both of you, what it means to be a veteran, and any advice for any youngster out there that's kind of on the fence about joining.
I think being a veteran and serving your country is the greatest thing you can do. And I would recommend it to everybody. You know, I think everybody needs to experience that growth, you know, the pride you have in yourself and what you do. And like we said before, take advantage of the benefits that are available. Both Joe and I, you know, got our college degrees with the benefits that we had, and I'm still to this day going to utilize my benefits so I can, you know, finish my master's degree. So it they're out there, the benefits are there. The cost of everything is going up, and the military pays for that stuff for you. So, but it's the greatest thing that I've ever done was to serve my country.
Awesome. Yep. Joe Brasher?
Well, to me, and like I said, Chief said, it's a great thing to serve, and it's being part of an exclusive club that dates back, you know, to the beginning of our country, and I feel honored to be part of that. And we talked about this before, was, you know, the veterans before us, being able to honor them by serving the way they did, and it really is enduring, heartfelt to me. To do that, and you know, there's no greater love than a man giving his life for his friends, and you know, that's what a veteran is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my advice to the younger kids is, when you go to sign up, educate yourself, be a student of the benefits, be a student of the service you want to be involved in, because if you can get involved in something you're passionate about, you're gonna serve your country well because you're passionate about what you're doing. But educate yourself on things before you just sign on the dotted line.
Yeah, my wife and I, of course, we come from both pretty patriotic families. Not a ton of service, especially on my side, not a ton of service, but we consider ourselves a pretty patriotic family. And so we like Veterans Day every year. But with the son being in the military, yep, now, mm-hmm, it she posted something on Facebook this morning. This is the first time, for our first Veterans Day, yep, where we've got a family member in.
Heightens it up.
It brings a new meaning to it.
It really
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, like I said, the greatest thing, you know, that I think you can do. And you take away those life experiences, you know, from the military. And, you know, the veterans that have deployed, you know, to combat zones can attest to it. And Joe and I, you know, you take away things from those times that you still use on a daily basis. And it's a benefit, you know, to you and your personal growth. And I wouldn't, however miserable I'd been at any given time, and you know, during the 21 years I was in the military, I wouldn't trade any of that for anything, because that's, you know, something that nobody will ever be able to take away, you know. And I've been miserable in places before, so it was pretty bad. But that's the best thing you can do.
Probably the most obvious thing, character builder. For
exactly.
Sure, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely character builder.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you for your service, and we appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Monmouth Police Department Chief Joe Schweitzer and also Lieutenant Joe Bratcher here as we've saluted veterans once again this year on the WRAM Morning Show. We're going to join our news already in progress.